I said last evening, this is one of my gospels that I always take to heart. Back when I was finishing graduate work in St. Louis, Bishop Kelly asked me to go to my native place there in Bardstown, the cathedral, and be an associate there for a while. And I said to him, whatever you want me to do, Bishop, I'll certainly do that. But remember what Jesus said in the scripture, a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown. And Bishop Kelly said, yeah. I said, I remember that. But he said, I figured you've been gone so long, half don't remember you, and the other half really don't give a damn. Said, thank you very little for your support. Each year, you may be aware that new words are added to our dictionary. And given the ongoing pandemic, there are many words that have become part of ever on day-to-day kind of vocabulary. Words like COVID-19, huh? Phrases like stay-at-home orders. There are other words that have been added to dictionaries this year you might be interested in. One is adulting, A-D-U-L-T, adult with I-N-G. Adulting is acting in, or become the act of becoming or acting like an adult, doing tasks that are essentially an everyday-to-day type activity of adults, cooking, buying insurance, paying taxes. This is in the Oxford Dictionary, by the way. How about all walking, A-W-E, all walking? Taking a walk outside and making an effort to look at the little things around you, noticing how grateful you should feel for these small things. It's mentioned in the Cambridge Dictionary, and it's based upon a psychological study that seniors, myself, who take these little all walks feel much more positive and less stressful. Contactless. We know what that is. If you ever do your grocery shopping through having to go and pick it up, it's not having to physically touch or interact with people, especially during shopping. Okay, that's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Doom scrolling. It's from the noun doom and the verb scroll. Doom scrolling. Huh? It's reading the news in the social media of all different types, expecting it to be bad. So much so that you become enamored, you become obsessed with staying up with the date with all the bad news. Weird. PPE, we know, personal protective equipment, that's in Merriam again. How about quarantine? Now, we know quarantine, but this is from the word quarantine and teenager. Quarantine, T-E-E-N, okay? It's a teenager during COVID-19. That's in the, again, Cambridge Dictionary. Thirsty. We know what thirsty is, but thirsty is having a need for attention or approval, not just by drinks and whatever. That's again in Merriam-Webster. This, I like this one. Truthiness. Truth with I-N-E-S-S. Truthiness, okay? Something that seems to be true but isn't backed up by evidence. Anybody think of some place like Washington, D.C. where that's going on? Unconscious bias, having bias that we're not really sure where it comes from against a race, a gender, a group, etc. And WFH, working from home. Good news for Scrabble players, I guess, huh? All these new words. I remember those days in school. Remember the vocabulary tests the good sisters and folks would give you? Struggling to learn a word based upon its meaning. A lot of my friends send me stuff on the internet, which is kind of neat for little homilies. Here's one of them. This is like definitions of school children and vocabulary tests based upon misinformed information. You know what an adult is, right? Well, the little kid will say, it's a person who has stopped growing at both ends and is now growing in the middle. Suits me. Cannibal. Someone who is fed up with people. Think about that. Chickens are the only animals you can eat before they're born and after they're dead. Dust is the mud with the juice squeezed out. Handkerchiefs is a cold storage. That's a good one. Mosquitoes, an insect that makes you like flies better. Raisin, of course, is a grape with a sunburn. A secret is something you tell only one person at a time. And a skeleton is a bunch of bones with the person scraped off. I've always found it difficult pinning down the meaning of words, especially in the English language, because rarely is the word in English only pinned down to one meaning, huh? We're in the ordinary time B cycle, so-called. And the B cycle ordinary time is known for proclamations from the Old Testament prophets, huh? The Word of God offers, I think, readings from the prophets, Old Testament, New Testament, in an attempt, it can be argued, to reacquaint us with an important word. And that word is prophet. And challenges us modern day prophets. Remember now, if you're baptized, you're baptized as what? Priest, prophet, and king. Okay? So today, a vocabulary quiz. What is a prophet? A prophet's not someone who predicts the future or the winning lottery numbers. The prophet, true prophet, is someone who looks backwards, who's recalling the way things are supposed to be. A prophet then is someone who recalls others, tries to recall others back to the faithfulness of the past as we all continue forward in life. In a religious sense, prophets are those who utter wisdom of faith. Prophets condemn faith, false faith of any type, and false gods, whatever, wherever. Prophets proclaim the consequences for those who reject the truth of faith. And prophets are not even sometimes those in the know. The scripture is filled with prophets who didn't even know that they were prophets. With eyes fixed on the Lord, prophets exist solely for what? To say and do what the Lord God commands. Even to the point of endangering their own lives in order to save the children of God, the lives of other children of God, possessed by the Spirit of God. You heard that in the first reading. Prophets speak God's word. They speak it forcefully to those who desire it, to those who oppose it. Prophets make others very uncomfortable at times. Prophets are irritants to the people they confront, to confront the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. That's what the scripture of the Word of God is about. Prophets are true thorns in the side, not unlike the thorn Paul speaks about, someone or something that simply will not go away. The gospel. Jesus says in the gospel, prophets are not without honor except when they do their duty, especially in the presence of those who, quote, know them. Recalling others to faithfulness necessitates condemning wrong actions. Wrong actions that might be very popular by people who are very popular, even presidents and popes. Recalling others to faithfulness usually leads to criticism. Jesus in the gospel. Rejected by his community, by his own family, because of his prophetic presence. He made them uncomfortable. He was a pain in their anatomy. He condemned their version of faith, their actions, their teachings, their comfort. Rejected or not, Jesus' life, words, and actions show him to be the true prophet, and we believe him to be the ultimate prophet, huh? Okay, baptized prophets, are you proclaiming God's word? How are you recalling others to gospel faithfulness? Are you confronting the distressed or comforting them? Are you distressing the comfortable? There are plenty of examples of unjust happenings in this life. A lack of social justice is the biggie, especially in regards to a hurtful topic for some. Immigration, refugees of any kind. Immigration and refugees, by the way, are two different issues. Do we hide our heads on what's happening to those who seek shelter and comfort from us? Or do we live out our prophetic calling, calling out our leadership for unjust actions, popular or not? Prophet Ezekiel, story of a prophet commissioned by God to do what? Do God's will, to speak God's word. Ezekiel's given the unenviable task of preaching a message of repentance. To say to Israel, as long as you live by your unjust rules, as long as you refuse to live the faith you profess, you will remain in your captivity. It's a message for us moderns as well. And like all good prophets, he's sent to recall the faithful Ezekiel is rejected by his people. Okay, prophets, are you addressing known injustices? There are plenty of examples of unjust happenings in family life. A lack of modeling the faith for the young, modeling instead forms of hypocrisy. Remember in the gospel, the one thing Jesus condemns is hypocrisy. The lack of the use of sacraments, especially marriage. The lack of protecting life at all ages, not just the unborn. Are we living out our prophetic calling, addressing such issues by truly living and professing and passing on the faith, and not caving in to so-called cultural models portrayed for us in every media form that tells us there's nothing wrong with questionable lifestyles, with sexual pleasure whenever we want it? Are we living out our prophetic role by calling out our leaders, political and church, on such issues? Are we living true Christian monogamous marriage? Paul to the Corinthians. Paul knew well that prophetic preaching of the gospel would not be socially acceptable. No. He knew too well that prophets are truly thorns in the side, like what he was experiencing. But Paul also knew the power of God's word, Jesus Christ. To be a prophet means to endure weakness, suffering, distress. And Paul knew that human weakness cannot be seen as an excuse for witnessing the gospel to an unbelieving world. And gang, the world is still unbelieving. Contending with prophets sent by God is something we must all put up with. And so, prophets, are you a true prophet in family life, and more so in the workplace, in the public arena? And there you'll find plenty of injustices, huh? Are we living out our prophetic calling when we encounter social issues like racism? Do we reject such speech, such racial jokes, or do we laugh with the crowd and worse, teach racism to the young by words that we use? Sexism. Do we wink and snicker at abusive comments used at the expense of women or homosexuals or others struggling with their sexual identities? Do we treat one another in a just and peaceful manner? Or do we talk behind their backs and gossip about their failures and their faults and even their successes? Do we treat workers well and argue for just wages, for good health care? Do we live out the corporal works of mercy? This weekend we celebrate independence, right? Remember that we, our country, is still in need of salvation. Today, remember as well, rejection of Jesus is not merely ignoring the boy next door. Rejection of Jesus and his gospel is refusing God's offer of salvation. Today the word of God says to us, remember what a prophet is. And more so, God reminds us that by our baptism and the faith we profess, we're all called to be modern day prophets. To reject the falsities of this world, to return to gospel faithfulness, to help others do the same. Those we love and are familiar with, and those we just simply bump into in life's journey. The call of the prophets comes from a thorn, can be a thorn in the side, huh? We can receive that call, believe it or not, from what goes on in a prison cell on death row. What goes on the street corner. What goes on across the backyard, across the supper table, across the bed. Remember, with God's authority and power, like Jesus himself, we the children of God can prophesy by word and deed. The need to return to faithfulness, ultimately, to salvation. How about some prophetic utterances to remember? Again, first by grade school kids. If I were to say to you, an idle mind is, what you would say? Devil's workshop. The kid will say, an idle mind is the best way to relax. A penny saved is a... No, the kids say a penny saved is not much. Two companies and three is what? No, the kids say it's the Musketeers. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can put on to go to bed. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. If you first you don't succeed, the kids say, no, get new batteries. Okay, laugh and the whole world laughs with you, but cry and you have to blow your nose. But how about some examples of serious prophetic wisdom to offer you as children of God? It's easier to preach 10 homilies, 10 sermons, than to live one. It's easier for many folks to serve God, but they want only to be advisors. When you get to God, to your wit's end, that's where you'll find God. God himself does not propose to judge until we are dead, so why do we judge each other as we continue in this life? Peace starts with a smile. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. God doesn't call us to be qualified. God qualifies those he calls. And God grades on the cross, not the curve. God promises a safe landing. He doesn't promise a calm passage. And finally, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Again, God helps us all to recognize modern-day prophets, no matter who they might be, even if we think we, quote, know them. The that spouse, that child, that neighbor, those to whom we usually don't respect. God challenges us to answer the call received, to recommit ourselves, to become prophetic in our own lives and return to the ways of the Lord. Prophet. It's a good word. Today hear it, today accept it, today be prepared to live it, and to be a true prophet of the coming kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.